Today's scripture is from Jeremiah 15, verses 15 through 21. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down the retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbiddance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice under the weight of your hand. I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wounds incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you will stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to these people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless.
Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. But take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Sometimes when preachers read the newspaper, they come across a story that makes them think, that'll preach. And years ago, I sat in on a lay minister's preaching course, and the instructor, who began preaching before anybody had a personal computer, shared how over the years he had compiled a large manila folder of newspaper clippings, each one representing a sermon illustration that he hoped to use one day. And so when he was looking for an illustration, he'd go through the folder and find something that fit whatever he was preaching on that day. It's good to read the paper. Theologian Karl Barth encouraged Christians to take your Bible and take your newspaper and read both, but interpret newspapers from your Bible. Accordingly, I read the newspaper on most days, but unlike my colleague in ministry, I don't have a fat file of newspaper clippings, and I also don't even have, even though I work with a computer a lot more than my colleague did, I don't have a big computer file either. But one day in 2016, I ran across a story, and I decided it'd preach. And so here goes. I'm going to read the story to you. New Brighton, Pennsylvania, which was roughly 9 miles from where Annette and I own a house in Pennsylvania. A Beaver Falls man has been charged with slashing tires on 19 vehicles after he was upset about a bartender for cutting off his drinks, police said. According to the police report, the man, whose name is withheld to protect the guilty, 45 years old, went to Jimmy Kay's bar in New Brighton late November 15th, and the bartender told police she served the man a drink, but took back the drink and refunded him after she realized he was extremely intoxicated. Police said the man left and immediately called the bar, threatening to slash the bartender's tires. He called several more times during the night and told the bartender her tires were slashed, police said. She checked her vehicle and found no damage. But around 2 a.m., several patrons reported their tires were slashed. Police counted at least one tire on 19 vehicles were damaged, and several vehicles had a large amount of blood on them, on the tires and wheels. The man is charged by New Brighton area police with criminal mischief. End of story. How do you like that? Seeking revenge, a drunken man slashed the tires on 19 cars that were parked near the bar, and he damaged every car except the one belonging to the person to whom he was seeking revenge. I wonder if she's been a bartender for years and she just knew, don't park your car too close to the bar. Park it away. And by the way, I withheld the man's name, but that's not because I know him. And just to ease your minds a little bit, I'm not him either, just so you know. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap coals of guilt on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The news story that I read to you is one of vengeance. Person thought, which car is it? In their drunken state, which car is it? Well, if I slash all the tires, I'm sure to hit the right car. And yet he missed. The saying, often falsely attributed to Confucius, says, if you seek revenge, first dig two graves, one for yourself. Or if you prefer, Richard Nixon famously said on his last day in office, remember, always remember, others may hate you, but those who hate you don't win unless you hate them, and then you destroy yourself. I don't know if that man, I never followed up, I don't know if that man ever spent any time in jail or what kind of a fine he paid if he had to make restitution for all the slashed tires. But I wonder what he thought, if he thought of anything like that when the sentence was administered. And I recognize that beyond vengeance, this is also a story of alcohol abuse, how drinking impairs a person's judgment and causes what might be otherwise rational people to think in ridiculous ways. It was kind of hard for me to see that. I grew up in a household that had no alcohol, not even for cooking. And that was because my father went to Cornell and had a brush with binge drinking there. And he told us that one morning he woke up in the middle of the basketball gym floor and had no idea how he got there. And so, with the influence of my mother, who did not drink, he decided to quit drinking altogether and never drink. I never saw him drink anything for the rest of his life. And so you grow up in that shielded environment, not around people that drank or exposed to it. And I kind of missed how alcohol-sodden our culture is, just how prevalent it is. And for me, drunkenness was funny. It was something on TV. Foster Brooks was hilarious to me. Dean Martin. You know, he was such a convincing drunk that I once met a person who had a PhD who did not realize that it was all an act. She thought he was really drunk every time he was on stage. Dean Martin's son revealed, after he was gone, he revealed that his father, when he was performing, in that ubiquitous glass that was always there, it contained apple juice, folks. You can't really act a good drunk if you are drunk, you know. And that's why he was so convincing at it and funny. Except he was kind of reflecting a society that just plain drinks too much. And the Bible is very clear that we are not supposed to be that kind of a society. The Bible's message permits alcohol consumption, but it's very clearly against alcohol abuse. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled instead with the Spirit. That's Ephesians 5:18. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Proverbs 23:20 says, do not be among the winebibbers. Isaiah 5:22 says, woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant at mixing drink. So, you know, that is something when I read that story that we need a reminder of, is this is what alcohol does to people. And so why it is careful to think about moderation in terms of our consumption of alcohol. And if alcohol, however, is truth serum, if there's anything to it that makes a person reach down and just take away the inhibitions that keep them, the things that they're hiding inside of them, this man's heart was set on vengeance, and he wanted to slash the bartender's tires badly. And as much as the Bible is against drunkenness, it's also against vengeance. And if Paul were there, Paul could have walked in and just had an intervention with this man. He could have said, if your bartender offends you, don't slash her tires. What was this man to do, though, with the anger that he felt if he had been sober enough to process what he was doing? Well, it would have been an opportunity for him, for you, for me, to give it to God. God saw the whole thing. God saw the thing that made him so mad he wanted to slash the tires. And God is the only one who is allowed to seek revenge. God allows us to be angry, you know. The Bible makes permission for anger to exist in our hearts when we are wronged. Ephesians 4:26 and 27 implores us to be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. And so with the anger that we feel, we're allowed to have it, but just not to keep it. And we're not allowed to have it fester in our hearts and minds as we go on. And that's a hard thing to do. I wonder, you know, you could probably, if we were all transparent and given truth serum and forced to stand up here and talk, I bet you all of us could say some pretty rotten things that have been done to us through the years that have made us very, very angry. So what do you do with all that hurt? What do you do with all that anger? You want to get rid of it because it's not good for you, and yet how? Well, this is a process, I like to think of it more as not an instantaneous thing where you can shed anger just like that. I think anybody who tells you that you can just let go of your anger in one moment is probably not being realistic. But forgiveness is the goal. And forgiveness is started by just the words, I'm going to forgive that person. I forgive you. Saying the words, God, help me to forgive them. Lord, I need to get to that place where I forgive them. Lord, please heal my anger. Oh, it's such a hard teaching. It's such a slow process sometimes. But I do believe that in time you can reach that place where it does not bother you anymore. You know, I told the children, the young people's time this morning, I told about the kid that made me so mad that I had to crumple up his crackers. Somehow I've forgotten what he did. I've even forgotten who he was. Time is a healer if we give it time. If we let the Lord work in our hearts, we can forget the things that make us so hopping mad. That'll preach. It belongs in everybody's manila folder, if you have one. Save it for a time when you need it the most.